Hello and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast, the conversational music podcast where every episode is a different theme. New episodes are released every Monday. No, I'm sorry. Damn it. The first Monday of every month. There we go. We haven't been doing this consistently enough that I got that down. So every time we do it, I still have to like remind myself what the schedule is. Anyways, with me as always is my lovely co-host Denise.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Nice. I love the energy. All right. And joining us, we have a couple of first-timers.
Woo-hoo. First time, long time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Michael K and Heather. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah.
Heather, the future Heather K.
Hey. Oh. Yeah. I heard. Would you like to share the good news with all the listeners
out there? Well, because your listeners are so invested in our romantic arc, yeah, we just got engaged like 3 weeks ago now, right?
Yeah, three weeks ago to the day.
Yeah. Oh, to the day. Yeah. Nice. Well, congrats.
Thank you.
Can't wait to hear all about your engagement journey and your wedding planning. And
yeah,
it's so fun.
It's begun now. Yeah. The actual wedding planning, because now we're past the point of just celebrating being engaged.
Right. Now we need to get into the details.
Yeah.
Which people were already so eager to get into when we told them we were engaged. Like, the day of, they're like, do you have a date?
Oh my God. Like,
no. I didn't have an engagement date until a week ago.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. Denise, would you like to tell the potheads out there how we know Michael K, how we know Heather?
We met Michael K at an open mic here in Montebello. RIP the Daily Brew.
Yeah,
but it was just a local coffee shop and there would be an open mic there. Met Michael K there. There was like several Michaels there. So when he signed up, he had to be Michael K. And that's why we always just call him Michael K. I just can't stop calling him.
I just
can't drop the K for some reason.
Yeah. And that just became my stage name, my way of introducing myself to new people. Because there's so many Michaels. And I was the only one who did comedy. Everyone else did poetry. And was quite good. But I had to do something to stand out. They can't be like, oh, this Michael's a comedian. Like, Michael the comedian is the worst. You don't want to. Yeah, this is Michael. He's a comedian. Oh, tell me something funny. No.
Oh, that's
I don't
want to
do that.
Oh, yeah. And then we had Friendsgiving with Heather, and that's when we met Heather a year and a half ago. Yeah.
Yes. So thank you for that invite. Much appreciated. We had a good time.
Yeah. And we're still together. Look at that. Actually, when we had Friendsgiving, I did not share residence with Heather. That was her home. And then it became our home.
So many changes in so little time, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it? Yeah.
What is time anyway?
It's a flat circle, I hear, since the pandemic at least.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, you guys chose a theme for this week. Had suggested one, and then Denise was like, we don't really like musicals. And I was like, God, so rude, Denise.
Well, I mean, I was just like, we would have gone with it. Like, I mean, whatever. Like, we'll mix it up. I heard you guys were torn between two topics, and we went with this one, which is cool, too.
Musicals are, I mean, well, Heather's song kind of sticks in the musical genre, but like, musical theater is a big thing for the two of us. Like, before I got into comedy, I was already interested in musicals. It's pretty divisive. Like, you either are into them or you're not. And it's like, it's okay. We love you and accept you for who you are, not as musical fans. So we ended up going with musical comedies instead.
Hey, that's just as good. It left room so that Heather could still use a musical song. Right. So
exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
The theme is not musicals, but whatever. I'm going to ask anyway. Do you guys have a favorite musical?
Ooh.
Well, Rent for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's probably the musical that has aged the most poorly, but I love it. It's fun music. It's what got me into musicals in the first place. So
mine is very basic, but it's Wicked. That's the one I've seen a couple times on Broadway, like in the height of my theater kid age. Like, that was a really great musical to sing along to, listen to on CD. So,
and I still haven't seen Wicked. So
what?
I know how long it's kind of a
hard one for like high schools to perform. I don't even think the rights are out yet. There's a movie in the works, so you'll get to see that someday.
I was almost 100% sure somebody was going to say Hamilton.
We do love Hamilton. We have sung through that many a time on road trips. Like, it's an excellent.
We are Hamil fans.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I mean, Rent is sort of the Hamilton of the 1990s. Mm. There's a great video essay by Lindsay Ellis where she talks about like every decade has a musical that is like for the revolution and it's designed to be palatable by like the upper 1% of society. Uh-huh. So, and that's Hamilton for the 2010s.
I am more of a fan of Lin-Manuel's first musical, which was In the Heights. That is a fantastic musical to listen to.
Yeah.
If you want to dip your toe.
Is that the one about the character who's named Usnavi?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, U.S. So Navy.
Yes. I forgot what podcast I was listening to. It was probably some like NPR podcast or something. They were interviewing. It was the whole thing. Yeah. Hilarious.
We saw that musical live last year in La Mirada. There was a touring company putting on the musical. One of the cast members was someone I went to high school with.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
We were in marching band together and like had the same physics class.
But
like,
it was in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas.
Not here locally in Southern California. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, he's thriving. Shout out to Tristan.
Tristan, shout out. Did you happen to say hi to him? Did he know you were there or not?
No.
Just kind of.
There's no way. We didn't stay to like say hello or anything, but. I don't know if it's the same thing as like in high school theater where it's like, all right, cast parties at, you know.
Right. You meet everyone like at the backstage door. You're surrounded by your fans when you get off stage. Haven't seen that in the same way. Professional productions.
Right.
But that's crazy. Like you recognized him like on stage. Like,
yeah. Oh, well, I recognized him in the playbill. Yeah.
This
musical is not a program. It's a playbill.
Whatever. I'm used to my nieces and nephews like programs, okay? Like,
right.
So that's like the for this.
Well, that was like Alhambra High School.
Yeah. And I've been dragged to many. I
mean, drugged out.
You've been drugged.
I had drugs in order to go watch that musical. That was the only way I could stand it.
My best friend in high school, like we were just opposites. Like I was the jock, I guess she was the theater major. So I had to go to like all of the plays that she was in, or she had to go to for extra credit and stuff. And she went to Performing Arts High School.
Oh, right.
That was very much like in my high school years, like lots of plays and stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, wait, but sorry. So you were saying you recognize him in the playbill.
Yeah.
So did you know ahead of time or you were sitting there and you're like, oh, my God, that's so-and-so.
Yeah, that's how it was. Because, like, I mean, we went to see the musical just because we're fans.
Right.
So then just waiting for the show to start, looking through it. And I'm like, wait a second. That looks like. And then, reading his bio. And
Heather, did you believe him right away?
He recognized someone?
Yeah.
Sure. I didn't think he was making up knowing
liar.
Someone.
I'm trying to drop names a year into our relationship and just be like, hey, I know you love this musical. I went to high school with this guy who's the understudy for Usnavi.
Oh, damn. Yeah. And now you're engaged. It worked.
Since that moment, that was the tipping point.
Yeah. That's what she knew.
Yeah.
Michael K's the one. Because you also call him Michael K, right?
Oh, yes. Hey, Michael K, are you?
That's right.
Are you Heather coming P. home soon?
All right, enough silliness. I'm sorry. We've been talking about musicals.
None of that had to do with the theme.
Exactly, yes.
I know.
Michael K, would you like to tell all the folks at home what the theme is for this month?
Yes, sure. The theme is comedy musical.
Yes.
Musical comedy. Comic music. Mm-hmm. They both end in IC. Mm-hmm. That's the main reason why we chose that. No, that's not. Songs that are funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I dig it. And here it's customary. The guest always goes first.
Go for it, babe.
All right. Yeah. So this is 1985 by Bo Burnham. So for those of you who are fans of Bo Burnham, he's a musical and comedic genius, but this is one of the songs from. Two years ago, he came out with Inside, and then a year later, he came out with the Inside Outtakes. So this is one of the songs that didn't make the cut for Inside, but when I heard it, I was like, this is one of my favorite songs that he's done. So
I'm starting it at the second verse, just so that we could keep going into like that, like a
sure.
twist.
Really, that's the most important thing.
All right, here we go. 1985.
He's got a job and a family. How does he do it? Balance his work with his wife's underwhelming cooking. He's got all the answers that I want to know. How can I be what I am? But 40 years ago, gee whiz, he got it and he falls. I am
some people are white guys in 1985.
White guy, 1985.
Wait. It wasn't easy being any white guy in 1985. Some white guys were living through the AIDS crisis. Some white guys were Italian. And I'm not saying it's hard being a white guy now. I've misspoke. I don't mean to lump a group of people in a hive. I think I just met my dad in 1985. My dad.
I mean, who doesn't want to be their dad in 1985? I think that's a perfect song for somebody who doesn't know who Bo Burnham is, like that, which is why I'm honestly shocked that it didn't wind up on Inside, because it's like, it perfectly fits. Like, if you've seen, have you guys seen Inside?
Yes.
So like, it's, to me, it's kind of the same song as a white woman's Instagram.
Yeah.
Where it is there, it has that twist, but like, it's personal and like speaks to a broader social issue of like, yeah, in the 80s it was great if you were white, like, you know. I just think it's great to point to and say like, this is Bo Burnham's style.
I'm trying to think if I would want to be my dad, or I guess my mom, but I don't remember the years for like when women could have their own credit card, so I think it was before that. But I'm like, yeah, the 80s is when my parents bought their first house. It was presumably a lot less than it would be today.
Sure. They like, bought it together.
They bought it together. They could, yeah, afford it in a lovely little town with a backyard, all these things. I would like to be in that position.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if we're to speak seriously about like the conditions of that time and how they translate to now. This is also becoming a sociopolitical podcast.
Sure. Get into it.
Of like, that's really what like protest, modern protest movements and like what people our age want is that same like financial security that was already in existence for white guys in 1985.
Yeah. But I think that's the really cool thing about musical comedy and like these funny songs is that you can talk about these serious issues in kind of a silly way and in a way that you roll your eyes at or you laugh about, but it's a way to make certain topics more palatable. Like that's the cool thing about comedy in general. And then you add something where all of you were bopping your heads. Like it's a catchy song, like no matter what.
Yeah. And like you said, it's got a really good twist at the end of like, it starts out as like any white guy, but specifically my dad. I think he does a great job of like actually honing the like pop music of the 1980s and like hitting that style. That's something that's really talented musicians have a tough time doing. And he does it. And I think we'll see in Heather's song as well. Like that's another like musical adaptation that like shows that, you know, it's really difficult, but when it's done well, it works.
Yeah, and then just to piggyback on what Heather was saying is you laugh because otherwise you'd be crying kind of a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Which by the time you get to the end of Inside, you are no longer laughing and you are kind of just crying.
I know.
Like, watching this man's meltdown.
I had kind of like mixed feelings about Inside, and Denise and I talked about this when we watched it way back in the day.
Mm.
Where, so I was watching it. I was like all into it. I was like, oh, this is hilarious. I love these songs. And every song was super catchy. And they all had like a really like, well, for the most part, they had like a good message behind it. We're like, yay, that's true. That really is happening right now.
And then, fuck Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. But then like, I don't know. I know it's like performance art or whatever. And I guess that's one of the good things about art, that like it gets you talking about certain things or whatever. Right. But I was kind of like, okay, so here's this guy like complaining about being like, quote unquote, like locked inside in his little like home studio or whatever. But yet he has so much privilege of like, okay, yeah, but I get to be home making art and I don't have to worry about like I still have to go to work even though there's a pandemic because I can't afford rent Yeti, Yeti. So then I was like, oh, come on. Especially that one scene where he like throws a fit and he starts throwing his stuff all over the place.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me, dude? And then, but obviously that was like.
I think that's a valid point, though, of like, and we've talked about this ourselves about, yeah, this is still a guy who was able to record a comedy special in his like multi-million dollar mansion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, not even his mansion. It was in his pool house.
Yeah.
So right,
to make it seem like, it, oh, it's this humble like abode, like, oh, it's this small space you're trapped in, like all of you trapped in your apartments. Like,
yeah. You guys ever stuck in your pool house? Is this relatable?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's just one of those questions we're not supposed to ask. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But I mentioned this to another friend of ours, and he was just kind of like, yeah, I guess. But at the same time, like, everybody struggles with, like, mental health issues. And yada, yada.
Right.
Like, just because you're, like, a rich dude with a pool house doesn't mean it wasn't also a tough time for you. And I was like, yeah, I guess. Yeah. And then now you kind of see it even more with, like, all the billionaire submarine people, where everybody's just, like, totally, like, I was amazed at, like, you know how they say, like, comedy is, like, tragedy plus time or whatever?
Right.
Mm.
It's like, okay, it's been, like, a day. You guys are already making fun of those people, you know what I mean? But
right.
It's like, yeah, like, you don't sympathize for rich people because it's like, well, they put themselves there, like, you know. But it's like, yeah, but that's still somebody, like, there was, like, the father, son.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, that's totally fucked up. But yeah, I don't know. I guess that's the climate now, right? Where people are just like, nah, fuck rich people.
Eat yeah, rich. I think it also kind of depends on, if we're talking, like, billionaire level of wealth. That's not a level of wealth you get to by, like, ethical means. You like, right. There's degrees of exploitation that take place in order for somebody to enrich themselves to that point. So I think it makes it harder to have empathy when somebody is in a compromised position like that.
True.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that I think is at least explains why, you know, us normies could more easily say, like, yeah, fuck Jeff Bezos. Who cares what happens to him or whatever? Or I hope his rocket blows up. his little dick rocket.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty big.
I mean,
just kidding.
As far as rockets go, come on. But
it's no Saturn V. You know what I mean?
No.
That thing, now that was a rocket.
It's more like Saturn 1.5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty small. Like, sorry, Denise. Any comments, questions, concerns about?
1985? I didn't start watching the special until like a couple songs in. Like, Rod, I was washing the dishes or something, doing something in the kitchen.
Lies, you don't wash dishes.
I was cooking or something, and I was like, is this like a Weird Al like album that I've never heard before? Mm-hmm. Like, and I had to like peek in because I just heard it and I was like, this sounds like Weird Al. And then I came over and I started watching. So I just wanted to mention that. And but yeah, it's pretty good. You know, I love songs with twists in them, so I dug his stuff.
Right. Was Weird Al in the 80s? Forgive my timeline.
I think he started in the 80s.
Yeah,
right?
He started in the 80s and he still like tours, I guess, but he said that he doesn't want to like put out any more albums. Like he's done writing. So
he's probably out of music that can really be parodied at this point, because so much of, like, he did so much pop music, and now, like, pop music kind of all sounds the same. So it's like, if you do, he used to do, like, polka medleys, where he would just cover the songs, but polkified.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's really all that there is left for him to do, if he was going to do anything brand new. Anyway.
Maybe you guys can listen to some Weird Al on the way home today.
Oh, I would love that.
Oh, boy. Where'd you start?
All right, well, that was a great song. Fit the theme perfectly. Great job,
thank
Denise.
You.
Yes.
Take it away.
Alrighty. So I struggled to play a song that I haven't played before, even though this was, you know, this is just a continuation of like a podcast that was started like years ago and stuff. I have like a playlist that I call Emulate, and it's all the songs that I want my stuff to be like. So I kind of just looked at my top 5 songs, and this is on there. It's number 4. I grew up with this song. And the song we're going to play is a cover, because I couldn't find like the original, like for the longest time, like I thought this, oh, and the original is actually like not on Spotify. So my song is No Tortillas, or There's No Tortillas is the original by Lalo Guerrero. It was written in 1981. And I grew up with this because my dad listened to Sancho, who was a radio DJ on, the Pasadena City College radio station. So this was a frequent song on that. And like he had these compilation like CDs from the from the DJ that he would like put out like Sancho like number five or like so yeah. And then so this was on them. So I just grew up with this song, and like I mean if you've heard my music, it's very, you could tell like it's very heavily influenced. Like food is a big factor. So this is, I don't even know how to say it. How do you say this band?
Los. Oh.
It means mockingbird in Spanish, but I can't like say the word.
Sensontles.
Sensontles. Yeah. I'm like, my Spanish is horrible. So awesome. Yeah. But this is, there's no tortillas. Or no tortillas, because that's technically like their version.
I love tortillas, and I love them dearly. You'll never know just how sincerely I love the corn ones, y también de harina. So when my wife calls out from la cocina, there's no tortillas, there's only bread. There's no tortillas, and I feel so sad. My grief I cannot hide without tortillas.
Yeah, so that's my song. I just grew up with that song. I think the best funny songs like are about food. That's just my opinion or whatever. Like we saw Cake recently.
Oh, we did.
And like I find their songs like funny, but they're very cynical, like in that mm-hmm. sense. So and like, and I don't know. I'm just like, it's kind of like borderline. It's like, is he being serious? Like you never know. Like, is he being serious? Like, is this guy like seriously depressed and stuff? Like,
depression is
so
funny.
Yeah. No, yeah. It is like, and yeah, art, like, you know, comes from all of that or whatever. But I don't know. I just love a good like food song. I don't know. It's just funny to me. So what do you guys think?
It was fantastic. it's a real plight. Like when you are counting on a certain ingredient for a meal and then it's not there.
Yeah.
I didn't look at it that way, but yeah, you're absolutely right. No, and actually I should have thought of it that way, because yeah, sometimes we do run out of tortillas here and I'm just like,
Rod gets really upset.
I do get really upset. We've had to call the police a couple times.
You just ask the police to bring tortillas.
Yeah. Be like, you guys get over here, stat.
Tortilla delivery service.
Was this song always a parody of It's Now or Never?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize that until I heard it earlier today.
The like original the
Elvis song?
Right? Do you kind of hear it in the background?
Oh.
Like,
well,
it's now or never.
Okay.
No? Well, I mean, this song did come out in 1981, so that would have been after.
Oh, yeah, Elvis. Yeah. Elvis was like a long time ago.
Yeah, the original and Campanas de Americana or American, I don't know. They do like a Vicente Fernandez like version, I want to say, like style version.
Oh, like a ranchera.
So yeah. Okay. So it's a little bit like drawn out. And that's why I kind of didn't want to go with that one, because it was going to be like really drawn out. Like,
oh, like a slower tempo, you mean?
Yeah, slower tempo. Oh, okay. Like he really like belts it out. Oh. And there's more like instrumental like in there. Mm-hmm.
I like this version because like you still have that sincerity. And I think having sincerity in, when you're singing something really funny and silly, it helps make it even funnier. Mm-hmm. Because it is like they it's clear like they are really honing that style of music and like really it, like it's passionate singing.
Right,
like,
you gotta commit to the bit.
There's no tortillas. What are we gonna do?
Commit to the bit. I like that.
I see where you get that, like why you relate to that song, because when we first met at the Daily Brew, that's the music you played all the time, was like songs about tacos and taco trucks and like,
yeah,
and they were really funny and really well done. And that I see, I totally get how that's an inspiration for you.
Thank you.
We were watching TV the other night. One of the characters or something said like, oh yeah, like parodies are like the lowest form of comedy. Would you agree with that? Or like, I don't know. I don't think so. Sorry, I'm answering my own question. Go ahead.
No, you can speak for me.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I don't know. As far as like levels of comedy, like what's the best? As soon as you get into that conversation, I just want to go to sleep because you're missing the point of comedy altogether if you can't find something to laugh. I mean, sure, if there's something that's like low-hanging fruit and like something that's overdone, but you can do a clever parody. You can do something that hasn't been done before or get people to look at something in a way that they never would have otherwise, whether it's like a satirical point or if it's just like, hey, this is silly. What do you think of this? Like Weird Al's polka medleys. He does like grunge and hip hop with an accordion and like really fast paced. And it's just really silly and fun. And if you can't have fun with it, then that's on you.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
So Heather, have you ever dabbled in comedy in any way, shape or form? Or, you know, does Michael K ever rub off on you a little bit and you're like, hey, you know what? I could probably like write a couple jokes here or there.
I have never tried performing comedy or anything. I was a musical theater kid, so I would be on stage and I would be known to ham it up, it was all stuff I had rehearsed and it was all part of the show. I mean, we met on Hinge and our first conversation was a pun, so I feel like I won him over with my humor, actually. So he's into comedians.
Humor was ingrained in our relationship from the very beginning. Also, I don't love the question, does Michael K rub off on you? There's something to that I'm like, but yeah. She makes jokes like that too sometimes. Not right now, because
not for the podcast. Not that Grandma Jackie's going to listen to this, but
right. But yeah, even though Heather's never done like stand up or anything, she's still incredibly funny.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome. Tell me a joke. No. yeah, when she makes me laugh, it's like really genuine laugh, like really hard. And she's always super proud when she can make me laugh like that, because as she should be. If you weren't funny, I would not be marrying you.
That is 100% true.
So you're really lucky.
That I'm funny.
With that, we'll move on to the next song. Heather, you're up.
Okay. So I was told that we were not doing musicals, and we were in fact doing musical comedy. So my mind went to a great show, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, that takes place in West Covina, California. There's another great song with that name. And the song I ended up going with is Cold Showers Lead to Crack, which is a very provocative title and just song. And it's in the vein of You've Got Trouble from Music Man. Having been in that musical, it's a super fun one to be in the crowd and be really getting into this frenzy almost of what's going to go wrong in the town if you don't make changes.
So the Music Man, that's also the one that the Simpsons kind of were inspired with the whole the monorail, right? Is that so?
Oh, I forget.
He's the Simpsons fan.
Yeah, so. I know what you're talking about. I've shown you this episode before, haven't I? Marge versus the Monorail, season 4, episode 22.
Damn.
He's going to bust out the Simpsons trivia right now.
I know
now.
A few people that would be able to do that.
Written by Conan O'Brien.
Yeah. Ah. That's the only reason I know that, because every interview he does, they ask him about it. Like, so when you wrote that Simpsons episode.
It's considered a classic Simpsons episode, but there's a big musical number in it. Like, same style as, I don't know if it's a Music Man parody, because I'm not familiar with the show, but I think as far
there's
as musicals go, you'd like it.
TV shows that every once in a while have a musical episode, and I love that Grey's Anatomy or Scrubs or
Grey's
Community
Anatomy had a musical?
I think they did. At one point, like, I just remember going through my shows, I think it was about a year ago, and just like every show had a musical episode in it. Like,
Yeah. And there's so many actors now that then do a stint on Broadway. So I feel like they talk to their producers or something and are like, hey, can you give me a song to sing in the next episode?
So it's like an audition tape.
Yeah.
For the producers.
Oh, clever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
I love that so many shows, though, have been like, we've got to capture that all-important musical fan demographic with one musical episode per season.
That's right. But yeah, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, that's the whole show, is hit after hit of funny song riffing on a different musical theater style.
Hit it?
Yes.
Okay, did you want to do like a little like radio DJ intro kind of thing? Or just...
Oh, sorry.
If you want, you don't have to.
This is cold showers from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Can we just use
that?
That
one? Sure.
There's nothing I love more in life than a scalding hot shower. It's the symbol of human dignity that separates us from the chimps. Helps you scrub off the sleep and scrub on the day, or scrub off the day and scrub on the sleep. Don't know if you're morning or night shower people, whatever floats your boat. But where are your toddlers gonna float their boats if all you have is cold H2O? That's two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, and zero parts justice. Now I know you're thinking, what are you talking about? Go away, this is private property.
Well, before we leave, ladies and gents, allow me to set the scene. Imagine...
Yeah, I don't live here.
Oh.
Imagine your kids taking a shower before they go to school. They douse their skin with ice-cold water, a huge shock to their little systems. At first, it's downright unpleasant, but then it gets them wired in a way they've never felt, and they think to themselves, that shower felt great. Maybe I'll try cocaine. So your son's on coke, your daughter's pregnant, and your husband's probably having an affair. Apocalypse! Just like the movie I Am Legend, but not like that at all. No hot water, which means cold showers. Next thing you know, your kids will be on crack.
No hot water,
which means cold showers, which everyone knows is the gateway drug to crack, 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 crack,
crack, crack, crack.
Now it's not just about the hot water, folks. If this landlord isn't taking one measly hour out of his day to fix your showers, then what's this scumbag doing with all your hard-earned cash? He's taking it and blowing it in a hand of pie gal at the Indian casino. He's fat catnip at fancy restaurants like the Olive Garden. And Red Lobster. Gasp is right. That's gasp with an uppercase G that ends with P, the first letter in pool. No hot water.
By the way, all the listeners at home can't see this, but Michael K and Heather are just like hamming it up to the song. I love it.
Oh yeah.
It's not called Spirit Fingers when it's theater. What is it called? Jazz Hands, right?
Jazz hands. Yes. A little Fosse in there.
I know, I saw that.
There was, sorry, as an aside before we get into the song, early on in our relationship, we had dinner with a couple of friends of ours. And during that dinner, for our own entertainment, we played a song from In the Heights and just sang along with it while our friends ate and watched, and we're like, look, like giving each other side eye of like, are we just watching a performance? Like, what is happening?
And like, where did he find this weirdo?
Yeah. They told us after the fact, like, that's when they knew we were meant for each other. Okay. Because we're so weird.
That's when we knew we shouldn't have dinner with them.
That's when we knew we had to move 300 miles away.
And they did.
They did.
Oh, they did.
Not immediately, but no. Like,
yeah, but they started looking that day. They were like on Zillow.
So. Oh, yeah, already.
sorry. I haven't seen this episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, so I have no idea what's going on. I'm assuming they have a shitty landlord.
Yeah, so Rachel Bloom is a lawyer in the show, and so she's trying to get all of the tenants in this apartment building to sue so that she can get back her ex-boyfriend. It's this whole ploy. So she convinces tons of people that the city is like stealing all the hot water and they're diverting it to Los Angeles, I think. And it ends up being this whole big deal. But in this, she's really just trying to do some fear mongering and like get right, everyone on board.
There is an actual conspiracy to divert the water, but she's only interested in winning back her ex-boyfriend from when she was 16.
From when she was
16.
Oh, wow.
That's why she really moved to West Covina.
Because he moved there?
Yeah.
So he did like a whole, Felicity? Wasn't that her whole thing? Yeah. Where she like followed
her? She followed him to college.
Right. What's the thing? College? West Covina?
She was, wasn't she in Chicago or something?
New York.
New York. And okay. then she went like to West Covina.
Yeah.
It's very specific.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Denise is a big fan of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
I have not. I mean, I saw the whole
four seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. And Paul and Wendy are fans as well. I'm surprised like I made it through because like musicals aren't my thing, but I did find it hilarious, dude. It just kept getting like more and more just like unbelievable. The story
just wacky.
Line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did. I loved it. I kind of knew that like she did something on the show, but then I didn't know that she actually like wrote, directed and like
starred in.
Yeah. 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 So that was just like crazy.
So yeah, it was really Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is the original Inside because yeah, you know, Bo Burnham did all that. He couldn't have done that if Rachel Bloom didn't pave the way.
Facts.
So thank you, Rachel.
Did you go see? I saw that they took, I guess, some songs like on tour and like were doing that live. Did you go see that? Or
I wasn't a fan until it was already all on streaming and I could just watch the whole season. So no, I did not get to see the live performance, but I'm sure it was excellent.
Yeah, I don't know. I just saw that and I was like, oh, that's really cool. And I didn't know that it had such like a big following. It kind of just started playing one day. Like I was watching my show mm-hmm. and then, you know, it just like throws on something afterwards. And I'll just keep watching.
Like, Denise is like, I guess I don't know how to stop it.
Because I'm either like it, like it's after work and I'm like still like coming out of my nap or whatever, or like I'm washing the dishes and getting like dinner ready, so I kind of just leave it playing.
What's with all this dishwashing? Shut up.
Are we stepping into an existing fight?
This is just, it keeps creeping into the podcast.
That's all I do.
She's feeling defensive and needs to like get it on record that she washes the dishes.
Seriously. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, but anyways, so I think it just kept playing. So I was like, all right. And then I could just hear it. Like you could tell what's going on, like from like, because I mean, my house isn't that big. So
Denise does this all the time. She'd be like, I'm watching that. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're in the other room. I don't know.
I get the gist of it.
I guess. One very important question that I just have to know. Are you guys morning shower or evening shower?
Usually morning shower.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I'm more of a morning shower person. Like, typically, like this morning I took a shower. But
thank you for that.
Just to be clear.
Yes, thank you.
But yeah, so my work schedule now has me starting too early to take a shower in the morning. Mm-hmm. So now I've converted to night showers.
Yeah, convert.
Which is what I used to do when I was like a kid in middle school. The like one shower a week I would take would be in the evening. Because I was like, I had X body spray. What did I need to?
All right, so but good. Is anyone a cold shower person?
No way. Are you guys cold shower people?
Compared to my showers, he is, but
because she takes blistering hot showers. Yeah.
It's like, because I lived in India for a while. I was working at a school there and I only had cold showers. So now that I'm like back in the States and I have access to hot showers, I wanted to burn my skin.
When you were in India, mm-hmm. were you on crack? Because
no.
of the cold showers.
I had only cold showers, but no crack.
There you go. Debunked.
Yeah.
There we go. That's Rachel a longstanding Bloom. Myth about India. Yeah. I'm in the same boat as you, Rod. I will take a cold shower on a hot day or like times when like, you know, in a locker room scenario when everybody's waiting in line to use the hot showers. I'll skip the line any day of the week just because my time is more important than the temperature of the water.
Yeah.
Also, I looked it up. That song from The Simpsons is a parody of the same song from The Music Man.
You Got Trouble. It's a good song. It's so clever.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the wordplay of all of these songs.
You know what this means is that now tonight when we get home, we're going to watch that episode. It's episode 12, by the way.
You were close. Season 4?
Season 4.
Oh,
wow.
Damn.
I was confident it was season 4.
And with that, we'll move on to the final song of the evening. I went with a little ditty called Van Life by Willie Carlisle. I have a Spotify playlist. It's called Kinda Funny. you wouldn't believe it, but I put kind of funny songs in it, you know, as I'm going through the algorithm. I'll be like, hey, this was kind of funny. Then put it in there. So that's how I do it.
And so after this, you're going to have a playlist of musical theater.
I am. I am. Maybe. And this is Van Life, and this is off 2022's Peculiar Missouri by Willie Carlisle. Here we go.
Well, I quit my job making minimum wage, looked fairly well twice and act half my age. I'm looking for somewhere that can handle the rage of a young man on the run. With rarely paid taxes and shitty insurance, a glove box full of summons and warrants, a finely tuned wish things were that weren't, you could say I was looking for fun. So I bought an 01 red Dodge Ram, bought 2 pints of whiskey and a 30 of hams. Now I'm peeing in bottles and eating from cans. But you can't call me homeless, friends, cause I live in a van. They call it van life. I've been told this. It's a fine life. I've been sold this. It's a fine line between having to and choosing it. Let's roll up. Let's blow this. Well, the 7-Eleven's a sure bellyache. I subsist on a mere wake and bake. Talladega to Chicago's lakes, or I'll take your largest queso. And all the girls from Chickamauga to Passamaquoddy speak enviously of my van's rusted body. This old thing might just be a Bugatti, the way I get it from 60 to 0. Yeah, I'm 60 miles of Fargo on a northern track. I'm burning rubber, no looking back. Pushing that thing like a maniac. I get tipped out like a stripper in singles and crack. Ooh, I wish someone would fund Amtrak. Instead, it's the van life. I've been told this, it's a final life.
Yeah, there you go, little honky-tonk barn burner for you. yeah, no, I loved it. I was like, dude, this song is so funny. I mean, to me, it was pretty funny. Because you do hear that a lot now, right? With everybody's like, oh, yeah, van life, dude. And then, yeah, you either have like the young kids just out there like, oh, yeah, dude, I just live in my van, you know, freedom. I don't have, I work from my van. I'm like a, what do you call it? A digital nomad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's one aspect of it. And then the other one is like, yeah, this is kind of like all I got. Like, I really don't have any other options. And the next few verses get a little bit more serious. So he kind of, not serious in that sense, but a little more like real, you know, because he talks about dealing with the cops, kind of telling them like, hey, buddy, get moving. And with homeowners banging on his door and saying like, hey, you can't be parking in my street. And then with other, you know, people down on their luck, like breaking into his van and like siphoning his gas and all this. Yeah, I don't know. Kind of give me like Woody Guthrie vibes, a little bit John Prine, yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah, and he's actually coming to LA in October. So
in his van.
Yeah, exactly. So I might check out some of his, the whole album and then see if I go. But yeah, I was listening to it earlier and like, yeah, there's a lot of good songs. They're not all funny like this. Yeah, but it was pretty good. So I dug it. What did you guys think?
I liked it. I thought the music itself was really good and like strong instrument. Intro, and then yeah, again, it's just this way to comment on stuff that's going on in society, that if you take a step back and look at the choices some people are making, it's like, oh yeah, that's kind of ridiculous that we like drive some people out of our towns because they're living in their vans, and then for some people, if they've like decked it all out and made it cute enough to go on TikTok, then like, sure, they can park down at the park and that's fine.
I would say for like the entire first year of our relationship, we talked a lot about one day living in a van and like wanting to
tiny house
living, like something to like live sort of a minimalist lifestyle, but still like it feel comfortable. And like, I mean, yeah, that speaks to like people want valuing experiences over things. Yeah. Why have a ton of stuff that you can't use or that you don't really appreciate when you can cut it down to the bare bones? Yeah. As far as country music goes, I'm not usually a big fan, but like that's the style of country music that I like compared to like singing about beer and pickup trucks and, and the big JC.
Yeah. It reminded me of a boy named Sue, so his tone, I guess, a little bit. Mad respect, because there was a lot of words in this song.
True.
And it's hard, and he was just spitting it out like what did he say, like There was one that's like rusted body or something. Like the line where he talks about like, oh, like the rusted body of like the van or whatever. But I was like, man, like that was kind of even like a tongue twister. And I was like, I don't think I'd be able to like sing it that fast or just sing. Like I have one wordy song that I really love, but I can't remember all of the lines and it's really hard to like say everything like by the time I finish like playing the chords and stuff. So yeah, just respect to anyone who can, like, it's hard to sing like that and to come up with all those lines. And I really dug it. And obviously the whole like van life and the political aspect of it. So yeah,
I totally agree, Denise, with what you were saying about like how difficult it is to actually pull that off. Cause like I have a musical background, I have a comedy background. I could never write songs. I've tried. And it is impossible. That's just like next level to be able to do that. So for someone to be able to do that and do it well, like, is
props to them.
Yeah. Anytime I try to sing along to a song where the lyrics are moving that fast, I feel like Jim Carrey and Liar Liar, like,
yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, just to piggyback on what Michael K was saying about minimalist lifestyles and like kind of experiences over things. I kind of struggle with that a little bit because I'm like, for a while there, I was kind of amassing a lot of things, and I probably still do, probably shouldn't. But I recently came across, it was like a show on like a streamer or something called the Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning or something like that.
I've heard of that phenomenon. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just thought that was like so interesting. So I guess basically like in Sweden, I guess so that you're not a burden to all your relatives, once you pass, you slowly start kind of getting rid of things while you're still around.
Wow.
And yeah, I was like, oh, dude, yeah, I can get behind that. So I think I'm going to start doing a little bit of that. No, I don't know. I looked at Denise.
Getting rid of things.
I feel like it was the same concept as that other lady where she was like, if you hold it and it doesn't bring you joy, like
it
don't out.
Spark joy.
Yeah. Spark. So it's the same thing, like, but you're just with older people. It's like, oh, you might die soon. So like, if it doesn't bring you joy now, just like get rid of it. So
I heard of it as well. The idea, like if you're going on vacation, you should leave your house like immaculate so that if something happens to you while you're away on your trip, that then people don't have to deal with a mess like when they come to your house to like pack up your stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Again, is a little morbid, but
we've gone on multiple vacations.
I didn't say I follow this. I just said I heard of it.
Well, no, I just want to know if like when we go on vacation, if you plan on us not coming back.
I mean, I've had a few where I was like, I'm coming back, but maybe not Ron.
No cruises for us, right?
No Grand Canyon for you.
All right. So there you go, everybody. That was all the songs for this week. I don't know if you guys, I asked this of like our regular guests that aren't really like trying to push their wares or anything. But do you want people to like follow you anywhere for any reason? No, just kind of like
I'm private on Instagram, so it wouldn't do you much good.
So if you have a message for Michael K and Heather, just hit us up. Oh, but Michael K, you have some creative endeavors, right? So like, do you want people to follow your comedy or check out an improv show?
August 11th, I have an improv show at Held Together in Long Beach. We're called Low Hanging Troop. And we are putting on our production, actually just named as of this morning. It's Fruit Salad and Other Tropical Delights.
Ah.
That's the name of our presentation. So you can check it out. It's August 11th. I don't know when this podcast is going up, if there's enough time to actually make that.
No, yeah. It'll be
first Monday of August.
Yeah.
No, of July.
July. First Monday of July. Got plenty of time.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I don't know if my Instagram is even public or private.
And it's two photos of me.
It's two photos of Heather.
So there you go, everybody. If you want to know what Heather looks like, head on over to my cookie.
Yeah.
The face matches the curtains.
Oh. What is it? This weird
saying? No. I said it wrong. If the voice matches the curtains, right?
That is what you said.
No, I said the face.
I thought what you were saying was if the carpet matches the drapes.
So if the voice matches the curtains or whatever. So basically like who did we see?
Well, the joke is through all the years of podcasting, we've like met, you know, a bunch of different people. And then back in the day, I feel like there wasn't as much social media as far as like people posting their photos and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then so when we finally saw some of those people, Denise was like, wait, like the voice didn't match like the curtains.
I think it's like what they used to say. Oh, he has a face for radio.
Exactly.
Like, no, that's like, I'm just saying like, I wouldn't have imagined like that you looked like that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I getcha.
But anyway, so yeah, don't follow Michael K. So.
Don't, yeah, leave me alone.
All right. Denise, if you want people to get a hold of you, how can you do that?
At D for Music, DEEFUR Music on Instagram. Yeah, follow me for my 110 podcast and any stuff that I put out. I mean, it's basically that, just any small bands I'm promoting. So, yeah.
Yeah, the podcast is everywhere you get podcasts. We're still on Spotify. They haven't kicked us off yet, so that's awesome.
Nice.
If you want to check out even more podcasts starring Denise and myself, I don't know why you would want to do that. This is the only active one now, but we also have the 110 that's just Denise by herself. Head on over to talkingishard.com. There's a bunch of podcasts over there that you can check out if you want to. Michael K., Heather, thanks again so much for stopping by. We appreciate it. As always, any guest on the show is always welcome back. So maybe next time we will do musical theater.
Ooh,
ooh,
there you go.
Thank you for letting me talk about it as much as I did.
Yeah, I give you time to like get your head around it and be like, yeah, I've actually got some I can choose now.
I'm going to go find a listicle of like the most influential or something. I'll watch all of those.
No, we're all just going to come back with four songs from Hamilton. The Hamilton episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or just all Lin-Manuel Miranda. Like,
yeah,
because
yeah.
He's done a few, right?
He's done like Moana and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, why news? I'll leave it at that. All right, thank you very much, everybody, and we will see you next month.
Me.